Hey, I'm Mike.
Hey, I'm Ethan.
I watched the first half of Goldfinger.
I watched the second half of Goldfinger.
And this is the other half.
Watch till you can't.
Goldfinger!
Goldfinger! Welcome back, everyone, to Watch Till You Can't. We're going to try to make it through all these 007 movies.
We're going to try.
And we are now on the third official James Bond film.
Yep.
Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, baby.
Yeah, the one everyone knows. It is kind of funny watching this and going like, ah, yes, this is where everything is coming from.
Yeah, pretty much.
At this point, we've got a very cool stylistic intro, which we didn't have in the first one.
And the second one started to get that way.
This is far more stylistic.
Was it? From Rush With Love.
Yeah.
And this one feels, well, I mean, I didn't see it.
Yeah, but I'll tell you, it is cool.
It's cool.
It's very.
Is it got silhouettes of sexy ladies?
It is one of the most objectifying of women I've ever seen. This is
so
the
many
problem.
More, yeah.
This is the problem, though, right? It's like this is where it's starting. Because, like, remember in the very first episode, guys, go back and listen to the first episode on any podcatching app if you want to get caught up. I made a list of all the things that made, like, you know, James Bond feel like a human being, like his knuckles get red and, you know, all that sort of stuff.
His penis gets hard.
Yeah, exactly.
He made that list. It was a very strange list.
It was a very weird list.
It makes you feel like a human being, though.
It makes him feel like a human being. Mm-hmm. He doesn't feel like that anymore. He's just like an action figure now, basically.
He kind of is starting to kind of feel like a tropey. Mm-hmm. He's getting in kind of tropes you kind of are known for. You know, he's always like quipping. He's always like... Every time a woman comes around, he cannot resist himself. He cannot stop himself from being a horny boy.
That is the thing that he has to learn in this movie, is to not give in to temptation.
Oh, yeah?
And not chase skirt, basically. Which is like, what an interesting thing that he has to overcome.
Something that he didn't have to do before,
exactly. Yeah.
Like,
well,
Honey Rider, he got with her later after everything was fine, you know? Like... Mm-hmm. But I guess in this one, he's just like, ooh.
It's his one weakness.
It's his one weakness. You know, I have to admit, I was looking at some of the, because there's a list on Wikipedia called the Bond Girls, and you can see all the Bond Girls that are there.
Yeah.
And I did notice there was a section where they listed all different types of Bond Girls, right? So you got like the...
The villainous Bond Girls.
Well, you have like, I think you have you have Femme Fatale.
Right.
And then you also have... main sidekick or something like that. I'm pulling up right now, so I don't sound like a complete dumbass. But I mean, I already sound like a little bit of a dumbass.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah. So there's like, there's main sidekick who like in the first movie was Honey Rider, right?
Right.
And there's Femme Fatale, who was Miss Taro,
right?
In the first movie,
right? Right. Dr. The No. Yellow face looking girl.
Yes, exactly. And then from Russia with Love, was Tatiana Romanoff was the main sidekick, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then Rosa Klebb. Was the Femme Fatale.
Right.
And then we start getting into...
Those are all relatively normal names.
Right. Well, then...
Except for Honey Rider.
Honey Rider's not a normal name. But then there's also Sacrificial Lamb.
Oh, yes.
But
and there's two of them in this.
But yeah, that's the thing. There was not two in the first one. The first movie didn't have
any.
This is just blank. There's a blank section.
Right.
And it kind of keeps having a lot... After this, I have to say, until Octopussy, which is not what I expected. It's kind of weird that there's on a Wikipedia section for Sacrificial Lamb, which feels fucking weird.
Yeah, these are human beings.
It's considered in the Wikipedia female allies or associates of Bond who wind up dead. So I'm like,
Jesus.
Oh, cool.
Very cool. And they're all ladies, of course.
Of course.
Yeah.
I mean... There are men who die,
but
less...
Bond doesn't want to sleep with them.
Yeah,
so
Bond isn't
bond.
Trying to be horny with them.
They don't mind, exactly. That did surprise me in my half of the movies. They introduced all these ladies, and I was just like, oh, wow. Like, the intro gives away the fact that Pussy Galore is in this movie.
Yeah.
And
which, boy, oh boy, what a name.
Oh, it's crazy when she says it, because you can tell the actor doesn't know how to read that line in a way that sounds like a human being is saying it, you know, because she's literally here.
It is insane that that is like a full name.
There's literally a bit at near the end of my half, beginning of your half of the movie, where Bond wakes up and says, who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore. I must be dreaming.
So it's even like he's like, what are we doing?
What are we
here?
Doing here?
Why are you calling yourself Pussy Galore?
Yeah.
What is happening?
This is a little on the nose. What are we doing? I gotta see if that's like actually what the Ian Fleming novel was like, that's what that character.
I've been reading up a bit more about Ian Fleming, and the guy just seems kind of like a proto incel kind of dude. Like, he was just sort of like a weird, like bad, like weird man who was just like, he almost kind of reminds me a bit of like Robert Crumb, but without any of the like self-hatred, where he was just like writing all of his weird perversions and hatred towards people of color and gay people basically in these books.
Yeah, it was also I was told by a friend of the show, Honey, that
Honey Rider
from past episodes.
Yes,
Honey Rider's original name was Honey Chili Rider.
Yeah, they mentioned that to me as well. Yeah, so there
you go. It's just weird. They're like, you know what? That's too weird of a name.
Honey Rider, though.
Yeah.
So yeah, this is where the movie starts. This is when the movies start to turn into the movies that I was expecting, which would not surprise me because if I remember correctly, this was this is the first one I ever saw, and I didn't finish it because I was like, this feels gross and dirty.
Uh-huh.
Let me tell you how the movie
opens.
Not
in a cool way.
Not in a cool. Well, I was a little boy, so I was just like,
Even then, you're like, there's better weird movies I could be watching.
This is strange. Where are all the kids?
Where are the kids?
Why are all these adults fucking talking to each other and laying on top of each other?
You know? Why is there so many naked people here?
Yeah, exactly. So movie opens. Is he wearing a hat or isn't he wearing a hat?
He's always wearing that fedora, motherfucker.
He's wearing that fedora.
He loves that fedora, baby.
He's still wearing it. So he sneaks onto some secret base via water. So he's sort of like swimming in water in order to sneak up onto a secret base, which we eventually learn is in Cuba. But when he sneaks into it, he doesn't want anyone to know that there's anyone under the water, you know, because it's like he's a secret agent, right?
Of course.
So in order to appear like, you know, unsuspecting, he's swimming under the water, but on top of his head is a duck.
Oh my god.
So there's this stuff.
What a way to start the movie, though. Like, I feel like
this is how you're seeing him. You know? I'm not gonna take this seriously.
No, that's the thing, is like, I feel like now we're getting to the part where like James Bond's a corny motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly.
James Bond's kinda corny.
He could just
He seems so suave and cool in like the first ones, you know. He felt like an everyday man. He's sweating all over the place.
Yeah.
And now he's sweating with a duck on him.
I think maybe the duck was supposed to be some kind of like breathing apparatus, I guess. Sure. But I'm still just like, I don't know, man. I think there might have been a better way to, like, because I would just, if I'd be like, why is that duck here? It's the middle of the night. Like, I don't know. It's strange. And it looks goofy as fuck. So he takes the duck off his fucking head and tosses it. And, you know, he breaks onto the base, beating people up and stuff. And I wrote down, now, whenever he moves, they're starting to speed up the footage to make him look sort of like superhuman. Like he's got faster reflexes, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very against the last opening I saw was the very first one. That movie was still moving like a fucking like snail's pace.
He punches, it's very slow.
Not anymore.
Interesting. That's such a wild move to make him speed up.
It's like boom, and like when he takes the fucking duck off, it's almost like he's embarrassed by the fact that he had to wear the duck on his head, and the footage noticeably speeds up as he takes the duck off his head and throws it in the water. Yeah, so he attaches C4 explosives to some nitro tanks, and then under the scuba suit that he was wearing is an actual suit, which is again, like,
badass, but also cheesy.
Like, this is what everyone expects from a 007 movie, right? It's like he's wearing that white suit. He's got a little flower he's put in there, all under a scuba suit. None the wiser that he was.
That
kind of
owns, though. It's kind of awesome. Like, it's lame, but it's kind of awesome at the same time.
And, well, it's like Hitman shit, right?
Yeah, it is. It's very Hitman shit.
So then he casually walks into a bodega as the nitro explodes, and there's this. Everyone in the bodega starts freaking out, except for one dude who's clearly like his contact. And he's just like, banana stuffed with heroin will no longer fund the revolution. So it's like, okay, so we.
Oh, is that a code phrase?
I don't know, because he's in Cuba and there's a revolution. I don't know what he's playing at. Either way,
all that Cuban heroin.
The guy, so his contact is like, don't go back to the hotel, they'll see you. And 007 is like, well, I actually have an appointment. And it's like, there you go. This is the one thing that's keeping him. Mm-hmm. He's got to fuck a lady. So he goes back to his hotel. Yeah. And there's a lady in his hotel room and she's bathing. And he has a plane to catch to Miami in like an hour. And I'm just like, well, better fucking get to the airport. Like, you know, you got to get through security. Well,
yeah, in an hour, you got to get through all that shit.
Like,
dude,
you're telling me now? Like, yeah, exactly.
Have a quickie? What's
There's
going
no way
on?
I'm
going
to do it. So he goes back there.
Well, he's a premature guy.
It is funny because in this scene, she embraces him and his gun is like hot. I think he shot it, even though he didn't shoot it. I don't know. The gun is hot. And then she's like, oh, please take the gun off.
Probably absorbs his body heat.
And he's just like, he's like, oh, I'm, I think he said I'm compensating for something or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm just like, okay, so what are we saying here?
Self-deprecation?
Yeah.
Well,
I don't
that
know.
Makes him a little charming, I guess.
So he takes the gun off and then she's clearly naked right out of the shower and they start kissing. Or the bath, not the shower, the bath.
Okay.
And they start kissing. And then from behind him, an attacker shows up with a gun, or he's about to hit him over the head with something. Uh-huh. About to hit 007 to the head. So how does he suspect that there's a guy behind him? You know, is it luck? As we know, 007 is just lucky. You know, so maybe
he sees him in the mirror.
You're so close. He sees them in the reflection of the girl he's kissing. Her eyes.
Oh.
He looks in her eyes, and in her eyes, he sees a reflection of the guy behind him. And I'm like, okay.
I mean, that can happen.
Can it?
I believe that.
All right.
Eyes are pretty reflective. Does she have blue eyes?
No, brown.
I don't know. Yeah. It's still probably possible.
So,
you can see something moving behind you and be like, that's weird.
So but he sees it very clearly.
Also weird that the lady was also just like, eh.
She's in on it.
Oh.
Yeah, you can't trust anybody, Ethan.
Oh, fuck.
Can't trust anybody.
Especially women.
Exactly. So he goes down to fucking, like, hit like 007. The guy, the attacker, goes down and hit 007 over the back of the head. 007 grabs the lady that he's kissing and uses her as the shield. So he ends up hitting the lady instead. and then a fight breaks out and they start fighting. It's very dramatically shot. Does not look like...
Is it sped up?
Yeah, some of it is. But it is very dynamic. It looks really cool. And then he throws the guy in the tub that the lady was in earlier, and the guy's about to like grab the gun that 007 had just taken off.
Mm-hmm.
And so 007 knocks like a heating fan into the pool or into the tub, electrocuting him.
Mm-hmm.
And then 007 says, shocking. And then he leaves.
This is where he starts forgetting the puns.
This is when it starts to get really bad.
Starts to get real punny.
Yeah.
Which I was like, I thought that was a lame thing, but like maybe it's because like boomers loved James Bond so much they kept making puns because thought it was cool.
And now it's lame. And now it's like it's lame. It.
But now it's kind of coming back where it's like, eh,
it's right. Like ironically cool, but then it starts to become really cool.
Exactly. There's a limit.
So then Goldfinger plays. Now, Ethan, why don't you do a rendition?
Goldfinger!
Perfect. Scenes in the movie play on a golden painted woman's body, just straight up objectifying her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then, so the song continues, and then the very last lines of the song are literally the vocalist saying, he loves gold. He loves only gold. Only
gold. He loves gold. Yeah, they're a little on the nose on all of these.
It's like, again, I only really know these movies from like the Austin Powers movies, and like Goldmember notably says, "I love gold," and I'm like, "Oh, this is where it's from." It's the vocals of this song that he's doing.
This is just a whole exercise in putting together the Austin Power movies.
It really is.
But then you also realize, you're like, man, the Austin Power movies were really like
good.
The Austin Power movies really had a vast array of things to take from.
Very much so.
Like, it's just so many things are so goofy.
So many things. Like, some of them, they don't even have to fucking make up. Like, some of this shit is just there, you know? One of the things I wanted to mention is there's a part during the opening where a golf ball is projected on a woman, and it rolls down her cleavage.
Wait, what? In the actual... Oh, projected.
The projected, that's it wild. Rolls into her cleavage, basically. And
cool.
I'm like,
Hold on, baby.
Yeah, exactly. So, Miami. 007's in Miami now.
Nice.
And we get a really cool helicopter shot of this awesome-looking pool that's like attached to a hotel that's next to the beach in Miami. Uh-huh. And I'm like, wow, this place looks gorgeous. Like a big pool. I'm like... Oh, is this like where 007 is staying? Like, I can't wait to see this pool like photographed, you know? It's a really cool place. And to the movie's credit, we do get quite a few shots of this pool area in the back of the pool or in the back of the hotel. But I don't know if it was because the hotel was like, you can't shoot here. We can't close down the hotel for a super long time or what. But like the it starts out being normal exterior shots of the back of the hotel pool area. And then it slowly transitions into people in front of rear projection screens of footage of the hotel. And then it just turns into a set.
What the fuck? That's so weird.
I know. It was really strange to watch because it was like obvious daylight, hot, warm Miami heat. And then it's like stage lights. It looks like a fucking like Brady Bunch episode.
That's
or
what's kind of fascinating about this movie, because we're basically watching at this point now what are like blockbusters, right? Like this is the equivalent of watching like a Marvel franchise,
right?
At
exactly.
this point in this time of history,
right?
So seeing what's considered like special effects or like what is big budget or like interesting, it's funny seeing that they're like, well, we could just trick him with a green screen.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like
people
let's
be
just...
like, sure, whatever. I'm not going to notice.
And then we'll spend a bunch of money like building the exact replica of this pool area on a set so that we can control the lighting. I don't really know why they did this. Like
probably just lack of time, or
that's
like,
what I
they
suspect.
They couldn't close it down for the day, so they're like, well, let's just rebuild it.
Let's just do it. Yeah. So they do that. I mean, you bring a Marvel. It does remind me a lot of like that bit in what is it, No Way Home, where it's like so much of that movie is just shot in front of a green screen because they're running out of time to like shoot certain scenes.
Oh, in like in London or whatever they
yeah.
were.
Yeah. Or no, yeah. the third one, whatever the third one was.
Was that the one with all the Spider-Mans?
Yeah.
I don't know. That movie had a lot of green screen in it for other reasons.
Exactly.
For the cameos.
So then we have Felix. Remember Felix? He's like the CIA guy or whatever.
Oh, yes. I didn't realize he would keep coming back.
Me neither. I was like, whoa, Felix.
Yeah, Felix is here. Yeah,
so Felix
yeah.
shows up, but 007 is with some lady named Dink.
Dink?
Her name is Dink.
Where's her husband?
Well... maybe
007. Is that really the clue?
I suspect so. Okay. I don't know. So we see Dink. Her name is Dink. And so 007 says...
Dink, meet Felix Leiter.
Hello.
Felix, say hello to Dink.
Hi, Dink.
Dink, say goodbye to Felix. Man talk.
And then he spanks her.
Whoa! Oh my god.
Yeah.
You know, Dink's not even listed as a Bond girl.
Well,
here.
What a surprise. She's barely in the movie. Okay, she's there for like 2 minutes. Not even. Maybe one.
Dink.
And then here's the entirety of her role. She says, huh? What? Who's this Felix character? And then she gets spanked by 007 and she's never seen again. So there
All
you
right,
go.
There you go.
So we are now introduced to Goldfinger. First name, Auric Goldfinger.
Sure.
Now, Auric. AU is the chemical compound like for gold. Exactly.
Yeah.
Very lazy name.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Auric with an AU?
Yes.
Oh, I thought AU. It was Auric with an O-R-R-I-C-K or something.
No,
like that.
AU. Okay. M wants James Bond to keep an eye on Goldfinger. CIA doesn't have anything on him, but they're suspicious. So we then see Goldfinger by the pool beating this poor dude at cards. But okay. It's clear that Goldfinger is cheating.
And I like that almost every single James Bond movie has cards in it now.
You know?
Like
yeah,
there's
that's
one
true.
In like
they're playing gin.
Interesting.
Yeah.
There's always like a game afoot, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
always,
there is.
There's always a bunch of gamers.
But it's because I think that's the thing. The movie always wants to imply like it's all up to chance and luck as well, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Even though at some point James Bond is not, I mean, I guess he's lucky, but
he's
more of the
lucky.
Time, he's also like I said, a fucking action hero.
Yeah.
It's clear that Goldfinger's cheating and James can tell he sees a woman watching him cheat. It's a woman on a balcony that's like watching the game and seeing the other guy's cards via like binoculars or something. So he sneaks up on her and stops her from helping Goldfinger cheat, and then talks directly to Goldfinger through the radio and says, I want you to lose money, basically. And we're now introduced to this woman. Her name is Jill Masterson.
Why is he talking to Goldfinger?
I don't know.
They haven't given you any context of why he's here at all. He's just kind of like...
No. He's here because M wants him to be here because the CIA is suspicious of him.
Goldfinger. Okay, got
it. Wait, why Goldfinger is here?
No. Why is James Bond here as well as asking?
Oh, because M wanted him
to be
here.
Got it.
But they didn't give him any real reason. So okay. He doesn't really know like what the... He doesn't know he has to be concerned of Goldfinger,
okay, so
basically.
So he's just like, I'm going to be an asshole this guy.
Basically, okay. And talks to him over the radio. Yeah, and I'm just like, I don't know if you should be doing that, James. So then he gets to know Jill Masterson, who is the lady who is helping Goldfinger cheat. And she is immediately infatuated with James. And so they go to dinner together. Which
How
is,
could you not?
He's so hot. And they go back to his room. And this is that line, that infamous line that you remembered, where the radio says the president is satisfied. And then James says, that makes two of us.
I do not remember that line.
I thought you said that line.
I don't remember that line. Did I?
I'm pretty sure you said the line.
I have no idea
first
about
episode.
That line.
Whatever.
Maybe. But, maybe I just was lucky. So just like James Bond.
That's right. You're a man of luck.
Yeah.
James gets a call, and Jill, that's her name, right? Jill Masterson mm-hmm. starts to like tease and tickle James while he's on the phone.
Woo-hoo.
And he grabs her by the face and pushes her away.
Whoa.
But luckily, she's like turned on by that. And so he's like,
luckily, she's turned on by that. Yeah. That's what I say with most of this.
Yeah. So then he goes to get another bottle of champagne because the bottle that they have is warm. And he says, drinking warm champagne is like listening to the Beatles without earmuffs. So he also hates the Beatles.
That's that loud kid's racket.
Yep, exactly.
I say as I'm 32 years old, whatever how old he is.
I think he's probably a lot older now because it took longer for these movies to get made.
I don't think. No, this movie didn't come out that much later. Like,
I guess I suspect like 2 years in between movies. So
that's
he's probably
not very
like
long. No, this came out in 1964. Yeah. So he's only 2 years older. So he's only 32.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
He's only 2 years older from the first movie?
Well, I don't know about like actually in the canon,
sure.
The actor himself. Dr. No is...
They were pumping out... They pump... Wait, whoa.
They put this shit out once a year, dude.
That's fucking bananas.
I know. Everything
takes so long
now.
These movies are, like,
such
big,
yeah,
like...
literally, Dr. No, 1962, Rush with Love, 1963,
this
Goldfinger,
is 1964?
1964. Let me just see if Thunderball keeps up that same thing, which is the next one.
That's crazy.
1965. Literally every year, they're just shitting these out.
Holy crap. Well, then yeah. So,
oh,
yeah.
You only live twice, apparently, in 1967. So
they needed to take time.
They needed to take some time
twice.
To fix exactly. that one, yeah.
Anyway, so then as 007 is about to get some champagne from the fridge,
mm-hmm.
a mysterious shadow shows up with a top hat, or not a top hat, a bowler hat,
okay.
and knocks him out.
Oh, shit.
And then when he comes to... He goes to the bedroom, and what do you know? That lady that he was just banging, Jill Masterson, mm-hmm. is dead and covered in gold!
That's the only thing I remember from this movie.
It's pretty shocking.
Well, actually, there's something I remember a little bit later, because it triggered a memory, but that was the one thing I'm like, oh, wow, that's crazy. Because I'm like, how did he do that?
How did he do that?
How did he do that?
Did he?
It's like gold spray paint, right?
Wait, like in real life?
Probably in real life, but like...
But like,
in my mind, I was like, whoa, that's crazy. You like killed her and then covered her in gold?
Yeah.
Like,
well, no, apparently covering her in gold was how she died.
Yes, because you can die if you don't have any.
That's not true.
Is it not true?
That is 100% not true.
It did seem kind of silly. Because I was always like,
why don't you breathe through your nose? What? Or your mouth? You can breathe through any other, like, just because you can't breathe through your skin.
The idea is that, like, apparently if you completely cover yourself in a specific color, you will die. Well, I mean, like, what the fuck? Like, you spray paint yourself with, like, blue, like, the Blue Man Group.
Yeah.
Or, like, gold. If it's, like, you don't cover yourself.
Yeah.
If you have to have, like, a little spot of skin exposed so your skin can breathe, right? That's, like, the thing, right?
That's what 007 literally says in the movie. And I think everyone was just like,
That must be real.
You know, this movie that's full of all this reality that it
takes
place.
I don't know why I believe that. When I was a kid, I believed it.
Everyone believed it. Like, people thought this woman actually died.
Did you look this up?
I don't have to look it up.
I'm going
to
look it up.
There was a Mythbusters episode about this.
Oh, okay. That's fine. Might as well be done. Wait, did they, like, get a person, spray them completely in gold, and they're like, they're still alive?
I think they did. I think they probably.
Probably because they
do. You know what? Go ahead and look it up. Go ahead and look it up, and let's see what Google AI has to say about this. So, M is super fucking upset because James Bond has now lost Goldfinger, and a woman is dead. What does it say, Ethan?
The Google AI,
uh-huh.
because that's what you asked for,
yeah.
says, no, you cannot die from suffocation completely covered in gold. While the movie Goldfinger depicts a character dying from skin suffocation after being painted in gold, this is a fictionalized and incorrect representation. In reality, people breathe through their mouths and noses, not their skin, according to Smithsonian Magazine, which is a source. So
that's a source.
It.
I believe in Smithsonian.
And there's literally, I clicked the Smithsonian Magazine link because you know, we don't trust Google AI.
We don't
AI.
Trust Google AI.
It says, no, Goldfinger, you cannot kill somebody by painting a body with gold. So there you go.
Well, there you
but
go.
You know what? I believe that up until about 1 minute ago.
I am shocked. Okay, I don't want to make you feel bad, but I remember when 007 does say, like, she died from skin suffocation, I, like, had a chuckle to myself and going, like, people believed that. Like, mm-hmm. people really believed that.
I was also, like, 10 years old.
Yeah, but you're not 10 years old anymore. You still believed it a minute ago.
Yeah. That's fair. I don't really think about it. You know, I mean, if it's ever one of those situations, I'm not. Like, I'm not going to be in that situation where I have
well,
to
what
have...
if you are? That'd be too scary.
If someone locks me down and is like, you're going to fucking spray paint your ass with gold. We're going to make you Blue Man Group. You're going to be completely blue.
How would Blue Man Group live?
Don't paint their butts. I don't think their little butts are painted.
You know they don't actually paint their faces and heads and stuff?
What do you mean they don't paint their faces? What do you mean? They have projections or some shit?
No, they're wearing masks.
Are you fucking kidding me? They're wearing masks?
That's why they're, yeah, they're not.
Wearing masks.
Yes, they are wearing
I guess
masks.
You wouldn't shave your head. That makes sense. Makes it a little bit easier of a sell if you don't shave your head.
So I only know this because Ethan's like, everything is
everything
alive.
Is, my fucking life is broken right now, okay? I've learned two distressing facts that I thought my entire life since, like, I was 10 years old.
They paint a little bit of their faces, but, like, they're not painting their entire heads, basically.
That makes sense. You paint it, like Batman, you paint around your eyes.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Exactly.
Yeah,
their eyes and nose, their mouth, and then everything else is just like a mask that's, like, put over their heads. Because the reason I know this is because in Arrested Development, there's a character who is trying to be the Blue Man Group, and for the longest time he was painting himself blue, and then later on it was I can't remember the actor's name, but and it's killing me, Bob Odenkirk, and oh god, what the fuck, he was in Mr. Show with Bob Odenkirk. What, you know what I'm talking about?
I know who you're talking about, but I do not know
the
name.
Oh, it's killing me that I don't know his name. Oh god, Mr. Show with Bob and Ross.
David Cross. Yep.
Later on learned that he didn't need to paint himself blue for this.
I don't remember that happening in the show.
What?
In Arrested Development? That happens?
Wait, what happens in Arrested Development?
That they learned that there was a
mask? No. This happened outside of the show.
Oh, okay, got it.
David Cross was upset that he had to basically paint himself blue for this, this stuff. Anyway, enough of all this. Now we're all a little bit smarter.
We're all a little bit smarter. We all learn new things. We're
so,
all educated more.
M
now.
Is very upset. As always.
As we all are.
As we all
at
are.
At learning this horrible news.
He says that he should get 008 for this job.
008. It's so fucking funny.
Isn't it goofy as fuck? This really does feel like you're, like, playing make-believe.
Well, I mean, like, even, like, the Spectre stuff was like, this person's name number two and number four. And it's like, what are we doing here?
What are we
it's
doing,
goofy
guys?
As hell.
Yeah. So Moneypenny is like, I want to go out to dinner with you, James. I want to marry you. And James is like, well, I can't hang out with you because I'm going to dinner with someone else. And then she's like, oh, you're going out with a lady?
She wants to marry James Bond? Moneypenny does?
Well, she says.
All right.
And she even takes his hat, takes his fedora off, and
puts
tosses
on the,
it.
Oh, on the hot, on the hat rack.
Exactly.
I love... That's the thing.
This
that,
keeps coming back
that's
around.
That's the thing that kind of... There's so many problems with this franchise. But I love the throw... Like, just kind of just like, this is the lore, right? Like, this is the thing we do, is we always throw our hat on the hat rack.
You don't just place it on a hat
rack.
No,
you don't place it on a hat rack. And there's always, like, a thing going on. I'm always like, ah, I don't know, that's kind of good.
It's pretty nice.
I kind of like, just kind of the consistency of, like, the tropes, and they kind of how they play with the tropes.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that really tickles my brain in, like, a positive way.
Yeah. It's like early Marvel, right? Where it's, like, it's rewarding you for being aware and paying attention to certain aspects.
Exactly. You know? Where you're just like, oh, this is a continuous thing. This is how we're going to play on it. This is how things change. Like, Moneypenny's getting more involved now.
Yeah,
like, she really
slightly.
She's into James Bond. She's like, I want to marry you, which is, like, crazy.
That's a lot. And she's throwing his hat around. But Bond says, no, I'm not going out to dinner with a lady. I'm going out to dinner with M, because M is going to introduce James.
My wife
introduce James to this guy who runs, I guess, like, I don't know, some fucking central banking thing in London. I know, who gives a shit, right? And he's just like, gold is untraceable. Anybody can just melt it down and then smelt it and put it in something else. Like, all this other stuff you have to keep track of, like diamonds and stuff. But gold...
You can't melt down a diamond, that's true.
Cannot melt down a diamond, you can melt down gold. And they're all worried that Goldfinger is smuggling gold by melting it down and then selling it somewhere else, where it could be of more value, basically.
Okay.
That's the plan, okay? Also, Bond shits on the brandy that they're drinking, and M is annoyed about that.
I like that.
Which is pretty great. Goldfinger is a legitimate diamond dealer, however. And this is actually one of the things I kind of like about this movie. The one thing I like... Which is, like, Goldfinger isn't like some, he isn't like Dr. No, who's like a shady dude who like runs, you know, a spooky island off the coast of Jamaica.
He's
a respected businessman. You know?
I like Goldfinger a lot.
I think
I mean, he's like my favorite villain so far. Far as we've seen, like, he is the most entertaining. He has the biggest plans.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, man. They're cooking with this Goldfinger guy. He's
like,
pretty good.
He's also not like the smartest guy.
No.
But he kind of, and like, this is a, I don't like saying it, but he kind of reminds me a bit of like Donald Trump. Cause he's, he's just this dude who's,
I mean,
sort
Donald
of,
Trump's fucking tower in, what is it? Vegas.
Yeah.
It's like all gold and shit.
Like, he's obsessed with gold. He's not smart, but he is powerful. And
powerful and charismatic.
He is somewhat, well, if not respected, at least feared by people.
Yeah.
He does things in a way that is clear, like, it's like literally everyone is like, clearly he's doing something illegal, but we can't do anything about
it. Wow, that sounds very familiar, Mike.
Right, that's what I'm saying. And also the other thing Goldfinger's all obsessed with is cheating and playing golf. Like, in this movie, he straight up plays golf and cheats. And and even kind of looks a bit like him, too. Like,
yeah, rounder guy, yeah.
Yeah, like,
less
I don't
hair,
know.
But yeah.
Yeah, less hair. But, well, I mean, how much hair is real?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
sure.
That's kind of why I like the movie a little bit, because he's not just sort of like some dude in a way in a tower that nobody knows.
I'm going to come up front, Mike. I'm going to say it's my favorite James Bond movie so far.
Really?
I do. Despite the problematic parts.
You like the villain.
I like the villain. Yeah. I think the plot is good. Anyway, continue.
All right,
on.
No,
but I was very impressed by this. I was very impressed by this movie. Except for there is one part, now I'll get into my half, where I was like, ooh, big negatives. But besides that, I was like, this shit rocks.
All right. There are some moments I like, but I don't know how much I can chalk that up to just like, it's well directed. Like, there's a lot of like good direction in
this.
That
means it's good though.
No. No, no. Just because something is well directed doesn't mean that.
That means, like, it's probably good, though.
No, it's not.
That means
it
could
be
good, though.
Poorly written.
Yeah.
There's more to a movie than just being well directed.
Directing is like 50% of it, baby.
I don't know. You can get a really good director in on a shitty script, and it'd still be really hard to watch.
I suppose.
Yeah, I don't know. That's my opinion.
I've seen the Minecraft movie. I mean, I don't know.
it's like master filmmaker from Napoleon Dynamite and Gentleman Broncos.
He had to make a script out of like that, like 70 people wrote.
Yeah, exactly.
He filmed that and he made that chicken jockey sing.
He did. He truly did. Okay. So, James is given, oh yeah, this is the other funny thing. James Bond is given Nazi gold and they're like,
whoa,
Goldfinger is going to fucking love this. Like,
oh yeah.
Show.
He's like, I can melt this down. It'd be pure gold.
Yes, exactly. And so, so Q then shows James Bond a bunch of the gadgets that will be appearing in this movie.
I love this section. This is the thing that they do in every Bond movie now.
He's
like,
this is what's going to save your ass, James.
Yeah.
And a lot of stuff actually does end up coming into play kind of early on. He shows him in a new car, which is bulletproof, has a revolving license plate.
Martin,
yes,
classic one.
That's right. Yeah, it's the Aston Martin. It is built-in radar, which connects to a honing device that he hides in the heel of his shoe.
Okay.
Okay. It also has smoke screen, oil slicks, machine guns, and it also has a passenger ejector seat. So
I don't remember what game it was, but there was some game where you get to drive around in that, and I was like, this shit's fucking awesome.
It's a pretty cool car.
It's a pretty cool car.
It's a cool car. So Bond and Goldfinger play golf, and it's at this point where I'm like,
why is he playing with Bond?
Well, yeah, and also, like, is Bond an idiot? Like, he talked to the man, like, and he's got a very noticeable voice, you know? But, yeah, so they end up playing golf together. I wrote down, I don't know if he recognizes him. We are introduced to Oddjob, who is the guy who attacked James Bond, and is Goldfinger's caddy.
Oddjob, classic fucking character.
Do you know anything about the actor that played him?
No.
I'm going to tell you so much fun stuff.
Tell me some fun stuff about Oddjob.
I will at the end of the movie, of the episode.
Okay, well, Oddjob was really good in N64 Goldeneye.
Everyone liked Oddjob.
Because he had the extra weapon. He could throw the hat.
Exactly. Who throws a hat? Honestly.
Yeah.
Bond reveals the Nazi gold to Goldfinger while they're playing golf, and it makes him miss his shot. Goldfinger misses the shot because he sees Nazi gold. And so he's like, let's play for the gold.
I mean,
gold.
I'd probably miss my shot too if I fumble.
I'd be like, what the fuck? Why'd you get that?
Why are you fucking?
It's also gonna be heavy. Like, where was he packing that?
Yeah,
in his pocket? Maybe in his, I don't know, his bag full of.
You know what's kind of crazy about gold? This is my fucking high thought. I'm not high, but I'm letting you know. But it's like gold, like that could be from like the people who dug it up in like the California gold rush and just like melted down again. And then like somehow the Nazis got it. Like that's crazy. Like who knows where this all came from? You can just combine gold, make bigger bars.
Yeah, nobody knows where the gold came from. That is fair. But like there's gold, there's more gold in the gold rush, right?
What do you mean there's more? Yeah, I know, but it could have been like combined. Could've like been. You could have like gold from like, I don't know, Russia or something, and it could be combined
from
with
Russia
the
with love.
Yeah, and it could be combined with the gold from the gold rush. It's all just like element. It's all meltable down. You can't track it anymore. Yeah, that's like crazy, man.
That's gold. That's Goldfinger's entire plan. You can't track gold.
I know all about California's gold.
That's you do know all about California's gold. So, Goldfinger's like, let's play golf for the gold. He's like, I'm gonna if I win, I keep the gold. And if you win, I'm going to pay you the
amount of
gold.
This does seem like
something
Trump would do.
It doesn't it? And yeah, I'm just like, what? No, I wouldn't do that. Especially because also like Bond knows he cheats. And so Goldfinger, of course, cheats. He hits his ball, his golf ball into the rough, but then Oddjob drops an extra ball like out of the rough so that like Goldfinger has a better shot. Okay. And Bond finds the original ball. And a ball that looks very similar to Goldfinger's ball. It's a slightly different brand, but it has a very similar looking.
Okay.
Now, this is the bit that I hate writing because it's all a bunch of like tiny little specifics that you have to keep track of. Okay. So Goldfinger shot a ball into the rough.
Okay.
Oddjob dropped another ball that was outside the rough, so it was a much better shot.
Okay.
James Bond found the ball that was in the rough.
Mm-hmm.
Pocketed it and then found a second ball that looks very similar but isn't the same ball. Then he plays golf with Goldfinger, and then at the very end of the game, right before Goldfinger takes his final shot, he then switches out the balls. That was the other ball that wasn't the ball that looks like his ball, but is a ball that looks similar to his ball. Okay, this is all the shit that I fucking hate. And then Goldfinger hits that ball and then wins. James Bond lets him win, and then James Bond takes the ball out of the hole, the hole, and he's like, hey, this was not your ball. This is another ball. It's a ball that looks similar to your ball, but it's a different ball. This is a ball you would never use, Mr. Goldfinger. And around the Goldfinger just going like, no, I do use these kinds of balls. Like, I was wrong. Instead, he's just like, oh, shit, that is a different ball. And then James Bond is like, well, that means I win because you haven't been playing with your ball this entire time.
Wow.
And that's how James Bond doesn't end up giving Nazi gold to Goldfinger.
That's crazy.
There you go.
That's crazy.
Hope that made sense.
It made sense, and I was riveted by it.
I'm sure
you
were.
I was wondering where his Nazi gold was going to go, so it somehow
I also don't know
Bond.
Where the Nazi gold winds up after this scene. Like, I don't know where he puts
probably
it.
Probably goes back to the government.
To MI6 or something, yeah. So Goldfinger's pissed. James Bond hides a honing device in Goldfinger's car so that he can keep track of where his car is no matter what.
Okay.
And then Oddjob, at this point, Goldfinger reveals like, yo, I fucking know who you are, bro. Like, I put a fucking hit out for you. You won this time. Don't fuck with me. People who fuck with me, they don't fucking live. And then he's like, Oddjob, show him what I mean. And Oddjob takes his fucking hat off and throws it at a stone statue. And the statue's head just fucking falls
off. I think I remember that from when I first watched it because it's very striking.
It's very striking.
You're like, whoa, how'd that hat do that?
Yeah, that's how strong he is, I guess. So
I thought it was just the hat was made of metal or something. Like, had like a metal like thing on it.
I think it's just normal hat.
That's crazy.
I guess we don't really know though, right?
I think it's gotta be made of
Oddjob doesn't say fucking anything in this movie, so he doesn't explain like, ah, yes, this is the
my hat.
Hat
have brought me down and I made this custom made to chop off things.
I'm
like
very
heads.
Strong, but also my neck is real strong because this fucking hat is heavy as shit.
Yeah.
So yeah, basically Goldfinger's like, don't fuck with me ever again. So they travel to Geneva. He takes his car that has the honing device, puts it on a fucking plane and then flies that car all the way to Geneva, where I guess he's got some kind of factory.
Sure.
And James Bond follows him. He follows that little honing device all the way to Geneva. And then he's like driving around trying to like follow him. And then this lady comes up and honks at James Bond. She's right behind him. And so he eventually wants to like, he lets her go, but then when he sees how
she sees her, she wants to fuck her, right?
He's like immediately like, I want to fuck her. So then he like speeds up and then he's like, ah, resist. You must learn discipline. He says this to himself. He's
really?
Like, yes. He's like, I can't do that. So then he sees that Goldfinger stops at the side of the road. So he stops at the side of the road, slightly higher up from Goldfinger, and sort of watches over him. And then the lady that was that passed him is now somehow behind him and also higher up on the hill, and is holding a gun and shoots it at them.
Okay.
And at first we're supposed to suspect that she's shooting it at James and maybe she's working for Goldfinger. But later on it's revealed that no, she was actually shooting at Goldfinger and not at James. But that has not yet to be revealed. But immediately blows his cover. Goldfinger's like, we gotta fuck out of here. So he does, and then the lady Bond gets all pissed off, and then the lady's in the car behind him again somehow, and then he pushes a button and lets her like sort of like pass him, and then as she passes him, he presses a button, like taking out some kind of like spiky thing next to his tires, and just fucking pops her tires, ruining the side of her car. And then she's like, I gotta go to her garage. She's all upset at him, and he's just like,
she know he did this?
No.
No, of course not. Because why would you have a weird spiky thing on your car?
Nobody has a spiky thing on the side of your car, right? It can retract, so she doesn't even see it.
Yeah.
So he's like, can I help you with your stuff? Like, you can unload it into my car and I'll drive you to the nearest garage. So they do that. As he does that, he looks in the back seat and sees that one of the pieces of luggage that she carried is a gun box, you know, that would have like a rifle and stuff in it. Which is exactly the thing that fired at him earlier.
Yeah.
And it has like initials on it. And he says, ah, nice. I see you carry a weapon. You know, I recognize the box. And she goes, no, this isn't for guns. I'm a skater. I'm an ice skater.
Okay.
And he says, well, there's not much call for ice skating around here at this time of year. And she's a terrible liar, so she doesn't give anything else. And then he drops her out of the garage, and then he goes and follows Goldfinger to Auric Enterprises, which is a big factory. Okay?
Okay.
Have any questions yet?
No.
So far,
it seems okay. I guess for her.
Yeah.
What? She just left, right?
She's now at the garage.
Okay. She left,
and it's going to take 24 hours for her car to get fixed.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So that evening, James Bond sneaks onto the factory, and he sees the car that the honing device was in, and the car is getting taken apart and melted down.
Uh-huh.
And it is revealed that this is how Goldfinger is smuggling gold. Is he actually makes pieces of cars out of the gold that he's taking, melts it down, makes it into like the pieces of his car, and then just drives the car back and forth, basically.
Okay.
Because no one's going to look in the car.
Sure, yeah.
Right? And then he takes the car apart, melts it down, smelts it. And then he says that this is all part of his grand Operation Grand Slam.
Grand Slam.
So I think he's
going to... Denny's.
That's fucking what I was going to say. I think he's trying to get a...
He's trying to get a good deal at Denny's.
To own Denny's.
Yeah, that's fair. That's something Donald Trump would do.
That is something Donald Trump would do. So James Bond, having seen all this, is like, I'm going to get out of here. So he like escapes the factory completely unseen. And then all of a sudden he hears like a rustling in the bushes. And he goes and he attacks whoever is in the bushes, and it turns out to be the lady from earlier. And this also sets off alarms, basically. So now they're caught.
Mm-hmm.
And it's revealed that this lady, her name is Tilly Masterson. She is Jill's sister, the lady that was smelted into gold and died.
Ah, okay.
And she's here to kill Goldfinger because she wants revenge.
Fair.
Okay. So now that's explained.
Okay.
She's like, I don't want to shoot at you. I was trying to shoot a Goldfinger, but I'm a fucking woman, so I don't know how to
shoot guns, and I'm bad at driving. I need a big strong man to help me.
Exactly. So she jumps in the car, and there's a car chase. I wrote down, it's pretty cool. There's a lot of cool shots of like guys, you know, leaning out cars and shooting, and then James uses all of his machinery in the car to like try to escape them. All of his gadgets, the smoke screen, and all that stuff. And then eventually, I don't know why, but James, I think he comes to like a cliff or something. He can't continue to drive the car. So then he's like, I'm going to cover you, Jill. Give me like, when I say go, I want you to make for the hills, basically. I want you to run away as fast as you can. And so he's like providing cover fire, and then he goes, go! And then she goes and runs off, and then all of a sudden, Oddjob shows up and just fucking throws a hat at her, and she's dead.
Well, does her head get cut off or what?
No. But I mean, I think her neck broke or something.
Oh, okay.
It's exactly hits her in exactly the same spot as
the statue.
As the statue.
So you
can
kind of assume what happens.
And then James like goes over and like touches her and she doesn't move. So her body is taken. James is taken in as prisoner, but he is held at gunpoint and asked to drive his own car back to Auric Enterprises or whatever the fuck it's called. And I'm like, why would you make him drive his own car? Like, just drive him there. Like, he's a prisoner. Like,
maybe they don't want that car to be an issue. I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know. Weird. They're sort of in the middle of nowhere. They also just had a big-ass gunfight. Like, I don't think they need to be worried about, like, attention, you know?
I guess that's true.
Anyway, so he's told to drive back there, and he ends up driving back. There's a little old lady, sweet old lady with an Uzi that protects the gate. Do you see her at any point?
I don't think so.
Okay, this part is actually one of my favorite parts of the movie, because I'm like, why? I was like, is that like Goldfinger's mom or something?
That'd
like,
be amazing.
Yeah, right? Because she just seems
I
like a nice old lady.
Keep it all in the family.
Yeah, right? So he ends up getting back into the compound, and then just as he gets in there, he turns the car, ejects the dude that's holding him at gunpoint, sending him flying, and then this big car chase inside the compound, and he gets like shot up. The windows are bulletproof, but he can't see through the front window. And so as he's driving down like an alleyway at the compound, he sees these headlights coming towards him really, really fast. Mm-hmm. And he's like, oh, no, I can't. I don't want to hit this car. So he like turns, smashes into the side of a building. And it's revealed that there was not an oncoming car. It was actually a mirror that he was driving towards.
Oh,
he just couldn't see.
Classic.
Exactly. So James is strapped to a table and a laser is pointed at him.
Whoa.
That can cut through metal. Now, this is the infamous scene.
Wow, I didn't realize this was in this movie.
Infamous scene. He's got strapped to the table. The laser's pointed at him, and we get that great line, do you expect me to talk? No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die. Now, I wanted to ask you, how do you think Goldfinger says that line? Like, can you replicate how you think Goldfinger says it?
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
Pretty close. Yeah. He says it in, like, a happy way. Like, yeah. He laughs. He's just like, no, I expect you to die.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. Like, I've always been...
You thought
it
would be more evil?
I thought he'd be more angry or evil or, like, yeah. No, he's like... Like, no, idiot, you're like, going to fucking be dead. Yeah, exactly. Nothing you can give me, you know? Yeah,
exactly.
So James says, so how do you think he gets out of this? Because I've always wanted to know, how do you get out of this situation? He's strapped to a table?
I have no idea. I don't remember. Because I remember that line, obviously, but yeah.
Do you think he, like, uses his wit and is...
I think he just pulls himself out.
Just pulls himself out?
I think he does for some reason.
No.
No? Okay.
He talks himself out.
Okay.
He says, MI6 knows all about Operation Grand Slam. And he says, if you kill me now, they're going to descend here and they're going to stop your evil plan.
Yeah.
And Goldfinger says, you don't know anything about... You've just overheard me talk about that operation. You don't know anything about it. And Bond's like, is that a chance you're willing to take?
Yeah.
And then he says... I guess I can't take that chance. And so he stops the laser, but then he knocks him out. And then Mr. Bond wakes up and he's in an airplane and he meets Pussy Galore.
Oh, yeah.
And they're headed to Baltimore. And that's the end of my half.
Yeah.
Of the
movie. James Bond wakes up and he's like, what's this? And Pussy Galore's here. And I'm like, we're in it.
We are in it to
we're
win.
We're in it in my half.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she's like, we're in Goldfinger's jet and we're going to Baltimore. And
I was like, why are they going to Baltimore?
Why are they going to Baltimore?
The Wire.
They want to see The Wire. Yeah, they got to re-up, dude.
That's right. Yeah, they got to
see Stringer Bell.
Stringer, yeah,
hang
exactly.
Out there. Go visit a little, talk to Omar.
Omar's
tips
there.
Some,
he's helping him out.
Yeah.
They're going to all go to Denny's together. Operation Grand Slam. Six Stringer to Denny's.
Oh, man. I would love to see that.
That would be awesome, yeah.
But anyway, James Bond, he's flirty. He's like, I don't suppose this will all be fun and games. And then the stewardess comes up, May Lee.
Mm-hmm.
And
hey, stewardess. That's not what they're called. They're called flight attendants.
Really?
Yeah.
No, I don't know. It's a private jet. That'd be different.
I guess, and it's also what, the 60s?
It's the 60s.
They're definitely called stewardesses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's like, I want a martini, shake it, not stirred.
He says it. This movie is full of all the shit.
All the shit.
Yeah.
Maybe he said that in like every movie, hasn't he so far?
He's mentioned it, but I feel like this is when it starts to really become like second nature. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Pussy's like, I know. I'm going to have to say this.
You're going to have to
I'm
say
gonna have
it.
I'm going to say Pussy's like this.
Or Mrs.
Pussy's
Galore.
That.
Ms. Galore.
I'm never going to say that. That's not how they address her in this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pussy says, I'm his personal pilot. And he says, ooh, how personal of a pilot are you? And then he gets his drink and he cheers to her. And he's like, to Operation Grand Slam. She says, turn off the charm. I'm immune.
Ooh.
So then,
I don't think that's true.
Yeah. And then James says to Melee, like, hey, I want to arrive more appropriately dressed. Do you have my outfits in the back? And she's like, oh, no, your black case was damaged. Does that mean anything? Was there like a black case with like some secret stuff in it?
No, not
okay.
That I could tell.
And she's like, but we do have the rest of your clothes. And he's like, okay. So he goes into the bathroom and changes. And then they tell Melee to like, hey, keep an eye on him while he's changing in the bathroom. Mm-hmm. That's what Pussy says.
Oh, I'm sure she'll be very happy to do that.
And she looks through a little hole in the clock between the two, like the door or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he sees the clock and he's like, that's some bullshit. And he puts his clothes over it. She's like, oh, I can't see anymore. And then she looks through a different hole,
mm-hmm.
Which is like a reversible mirror type situation.
Okay.
He eventually finds that and blocks that as well.
Oh my gosh.
And during this time, he puts on a tracking device on the bottom of his shoe. He like takes the tracking device, puts it in the bottom of his shoe. Well,
there you go.
I didn't know what this was. It just looked like a little stick of gum.
It looks
to me.
Like a scum or lighter or something. Yeah.
Yeah. What he does to block the thing, actually, I didn't mention this, is he sprays the mirror with shaving cream. I'm like, that's so silly. Like, it'd be so obvious.
Yeah.
Well, it's so obvious enough that he comes out and Pussy comes out with a gun and threatens him.
Yeah.
And is like,
you were hiding something.
Like, you did something. And he's like, listen, you know, you seem to know a lot more about planes than guns. If you shoot me, we'll both be sucked into space. And he then says, you like close shaves, don't you?
Oh.
He's like, she's like, shut up, idiot.
Stupid head.
Yeah, we're going to go back. So then, since he put the thing in his shoe, I guess the tracking device activated.
Mm-hmm.
And so people back at base are like, oh, we got a signal from Bond. He's coming in on like a private jet.
He's going to be in Baltimore.
They're going to be landing in Baltimore, but their final trip ends in Kentucky. And I'm like, how do they know it's going to end in Kentucky?
This is a private jet.
Do they have the whole... But a private jet would, like... I figured they would land in Baltimore. And then
yeah,
they
why
like,
would they know where it... Yeah, exactly. I have the same questions as you.
I don't know. Maybe that's something they used to do. They're like, where are you going to, like, land and go to? I don't know.
Yeah, they're on that Twitter account where you can, like, check and then where the
and
flight
Bond's
status.
Like, please block this. This is an invasion of my privacy. Don't tell Gronk where I am. Pussy Galore... So they arrive, they land, and you see that Pussy Galore actually runs a stunt show. She's an air pilot as a stunt show situation going on.
Oh,
yeah. She does like high flying stunts and stuff. I didn't expect that. Why? Because she's a woman?
I just didn't expect a pilot to also be running a stunt show. I feel like that's kind of beneath
get paid.
Them.
Yeah, you think it's beneath them? All pilots. No, they got to get some money somehow.
That's not by being pilots.
Yeah, it's
for a guy that is obsessed with gold.
Yeah, you'd think he'd pay well, right?
Yeah, you'd expect it. Yeah. Well, if we're following the Donald Trump like line of logic, probably not, right?
You're making enough Pussy Galore. You're making enough. I'm done here.
Yeah, exactly.
So she still has the gun on him the whole time while they unload from the hangar.
So paranoid.
And then we see Oddjob here. Mm-hmm. He picks up James Bond, and James Bond makes a mention to Pussy. And is like, hey, what are you laughing at? What are you laughing at?
Just the pussy
Mike, what's
thing.
Funny?
Just the pussy Mike, what's thing. Funny? I'm going to laugh almost every time it happens.
He says, he kills little girls like you. And she says, yeah.
Little
boy.
Girls?
And then he says, boys too.
That's nice.
And then so we get to the stunt pilots. She's training a bunch of stunt pilots. And we see them land. And they're all ladies.
I can't wait for this all to come into play.
Kinda.
Yeah.
So you see all these ladies come out. And I'm like, oh man, this is just like that moment in Endgame where there's like all ladies, except they play a sexy saxophone while they all land. Like, look at all these hot babes flying airplanes. Isn't that sick? Anyway, James arrives at what looks like a big house. It's like a giant plantation looking thing. I assume it's Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Goldfinger's here and he's got a horse and he's like, check out this nice horse, James. And he says, certainly better bred than her owner. Like, that's a pretty good dig.
Ouch.
Like, take him to his room. And so they take James to his room. It's just a straight up prison under the
without food, without dinner,
without anything. It's just a prison. The Americans are still tracking him, though. The CIA agents. What was his name? Like Jenks or something like that? No, not Jenks.
Jenks?
What was the name
Jenkins.
Of the CIA? Jenkins?
Jenkins? Felix.
Felix. That's
there
it.
Go.
My
there
bad.
There you go.
They're tracking him. And then they say, you know, one of them says, like, oh, we should drop in on him. And they're like, no, he'll yell when he needs us.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to track him yet.
Right.
So inside Goldfinger's palace, there's all these mob people. I don't know who they are. Crime people. People doing crime.
Sure.
Like,
crime
hey,
people.
Give us the money you owe, Goldfinger.
What are these guys? Like fucking like mobsters?
Honestly, yeah. And they're like, hey, I didn't know Chicago was coming here. Fuck Chicago. I don't want to talk to Chicago. The West Coast is in this too. I don't want to talk to them. I don't like this guy. I don't like that guy.
Is Big fan of this.
Well, they're all complaining about. Yeah, this is where I'm like, this is when he starts cooking. And they're all like, you can't do all this. We're all involved. Da-da-da-da-da. They're like, we got $1 million, Goldfinger. Goldfinger's like, well, you can get $1 million today. We're going to get $10 million tomorrow.
Ooh.
I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, as soon as my bank opens in the morning, I'll pay you guys tomorrow. And they're like, tomorrow's Sunday. Banks aren't open on Sunday. And he's like, my bank will. And I'm like, oh, shit. Is he opening up a bank? Like, is he legitimately just being like, Goldfinger stash? No. What he's going to do instead is he does all this crazy stuff. He has this table here. And he clicks a button. And all this stuff starts flipping around. The pool, this table in front of him flips around. The blinds close. A map reveals itself on the wall. I'm like, this is a smart home in the fucking future.
Yeah, holy shit, this is awesome.
It looks really cool. And there's a map. And they look at it. He says, this is my bank. And it's Fort Knox.
Whoa.
Fort Knox, for those who may not be familiar with, is the place where the U.S. stores, at least at this time, majority, almost all of its gold.
Right, right.
Gold stores. And they're like, hey, you're going to knock off Fort Knox, huh? That's crazy. As you know, it's like...
Combined with a bunch of people. These guys are like the fucking from like the Simpsons
so
or something.
Yeah, they really are like that.
Gee, boss.
And he's like, no, it's going to be great. We have a plan for it. Anyway, and he presses some more buttons on his table, and then the fucking floor opens up. People are like, hey, what's the big idea? The floor's going up. So like, a fish are here. What's going on? And they move back, and there's a 3D model pops up at Fort Knox. In case the map was enough, it's a 3D model of Fort Knox.
Oh my God.
And he's like, Goldfinger says, humans have achieved so much and have reached max potential of every human endeavor, except crime! Which I'm like, this is great. Love this guy.
Oh my God.
So James Bond, by the way, in the middle of this, is he's waving at the jailer, and the jailer is just unamused by all this.
Oh, of course.
Just like, I don't, I'm not interested in this.
This is every day for this guy.
Yeah. But then he disappears. He says, he waves at him, and he disappears under the bars. And the jailer's like, why do you disappear under the bars? And he goes up, looks and he unlocks the door and he's like, where'd this fucking guy go? He's not under the bars. Somehow, I legitimately have no idea how he did this. There's like a little window, right?
Yeah.
In the door.
Right.
And he's looking through that.
Right. Right. And then he disappears.
So he disappears. He goes under the door.
Right, right, right.
So then he opens the guard opens the door and he looks around. James Bond's nowhere to be seen. But James Bond then suddenly falls from the ceiling and attacks him.
What was he holding on to up there?
Well, that's not my question. How did he get up there without being like seen by the door?
I don't know.
Because there's a big door, a window open. He must have crawled up the side.
Didn't look away.
No, he didn't look away the whole time.
Yeah, he's a magician too.
He's a magician. So he knocked him out. He takes his gun. And then we cut back to Goldfinger's monologue. It's like Knox,
he's still monologuing.
Knox is amazing. I've devoted 15 years of my life to this. But now at this point, James Bond has snuck in, and he's under the model. 3D model that he put
okay,
up.
Okay.
And he's listening to all this. And they're like, okay, here's what you're going to do.
This is Operation Grand Slam.
This is the plan of Grand Slam. He's like, we're going to smuggle in Delta 9, this invisible nerve gas that disperses after 50 minutes. It will knock people out for 24 whole hours. Okay. Pussy Galore is going to fly her group of stunt pilots and disperse the gas and knock everyone out.
Pilot. Got
exactly.
It.
And he gives this whole plan about like, you all will be involved. We're all going to get some money. We're all going to pay for this. Y'all are going to help me. Don't really know how they're going to help him.
Yeah,
don't
they're
really
not pilots.
They're just going to be like, we're going to come in here and we're going to knock him out. So, but this is an investment. Like after this, I'll pay you even more.
Right. Okay.
And they're like, okay. But then some guy named Mr. Solo is like, ah, this is bullshit.
He's all by himself, Mr. Solo.
I know. It's so on the nose. So I'm going to take my money now.
Yeah.
And Bond at this point is taking notes this whole time. He's writing down the whole plan that he's got going.
Trying to keep track of all this.
Maybe give it to someone who knows. Mm-hmm. But then suddenly Bond gets yanked out from under all this by Pussy Galore, who punches him in the face.
Whoa.
And demands the gun he stole from the guard. And then they send him back to jail.
Oh. This fucking guy, he just keeps getting thrown in jail.
He's getting thrown in jail where he belongs.
Yeah, that's
harassment.
True. He's a rat.
He's a little rat bastard. But then Solo's like, all right, Goldfinger's like, all right, you know, you want to leave? You want to be out of this? That's fine. You want $1 million? I said you guys could have it, so I'll give it to you. So then he goes out.
And he's going to like drop $1 million on him. Like,
no,
him.
No, not quite.
Okay,
not quite.
Okay.
But then he leaves, and then they're all like, man, this is pretty good. All the other people who are in the room still are like, it's pretty good. But then, I don't know why this happens, but he drops... He closes the fireplace, he locks all the windows, and then they start fucking pumping in the same gas, the Nerve 6
Delta 6. Yeah, that'll knock him out.
And knocks everyone out. And I'm like, why did you even bring this up?
Yeah,
I guess just to like
want a monologue
to take
to
them all out, I guess. To
but why tell
them
the evil plan?
I guess he's going to fucking knock them all out, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just a little soliloquy, I guess.
A soliloquy. You know, a thing that people say to themselves.
Is that what it means?
Yes.
Oh.
It's an aside to speaking to yourself. The audience overhears it, obviously, but yeah.
That makes sense. Soliloquy. Yeah. Like solo. Well, this is a multiqui.
Yeah, there you go.
This is a multiqui is what he did.
Also known as a monologue. No.
I've always thought as a monologue as someone who
it's just a long thing,
but people kept interrupting him.
Yeah, so it's probably not that.
It's just an evil plan.
It's just an evil plan. He's just evil.
There's no cool name for that. Shakespeare didn't have any of these characters.
He wasn't evil. Yeah, exactly. Shakespeare could not have seen this movie coming.
Absolutely not. Yeah. No way. So Mr. Solo is in the back there. He's taking his gold. He's like, oh, thank you for the gold. They're loading up the car with gold, and he's leaving just fine.
Gold!
Bond is coming up, and they're talking to him, and Bond's like, oh, you know, he's why is this guy leaving? Why is Mr. Solo leaving him? Goldfinger's like, oh, he has a pressing engagement. He's got to get out of here. He's like, oh, okay. So Bond then folds the notes along with a little tracker in his shoe and puts it in Mr. Solo's
money,
like little, no, not the money, in like his pant suit pocket.
Oh, okay, got it.
And does that, and then this is because Pussy brought him out and was like, I found him under the model, what do you want me to do with him?
Right.
He's like, I'll talk to him.
And Pussy Galore is really on this fucking guy.
She's really on this guy.
Yeah.
And then the Americans get to tracking that something's moving, and they leave KFC and they drive over. I'm like, man, Kentucky Fried Chicken,
how else are you gonna get a Baltimore?
I know, but it's just like, it's amazing seeing this old Kentucky Fried Chicken, where it's literally like the Colonel's finest.
He's still alive.
He's still alive. He's running that shit.
Yeah, exactly. He's probably there.
He's probably right there cooking that food.
And he's like, oh, James, I'm 008.
I know a thing or two about keeping secrets myself.
My secret spices.
All those spices.
No one will know.
No one will know. You can't torture that out of me.
Imagine like the opening of one of those movies. It's like looking through like the bucket, like the popcorn the chicken bucket. And he like pulls out a turkey leg and like throws it. Yeah.
Odd Jobs drive Mr. Solo somewhere, and as soon as
chicken finger.
Right, chicken finger.
He loves chicken.
How many herbs or spices does he have? You'll never know. Anyway, as soon as I saw Odd Job was driving,
you know people are down.
I'm like, this motherfucker's dead.
Yeah, seriously.
He's like, there's literally a moment where he drives off to the corridor. He's like, this isn't the exit. And then Odd Job's like, pulls out a gun, just fucking shoots him.
Obviously,
in the back of the car, and I'm like, "Well, that's crazy." The Americans are following him at this point because they have the tracker.
Yeah, exactly.
But then Odd Jobs drives into a junkyard, and this is the part I think the only part I kind of remember. This jogged my memory. I remember this part.
Yeah.
There's this big crane that comes and grabs the car. He's in a junkyard and brings the car and just drops it into a crushing device.
And he's still alive. Or not alive, but the body's still there.
And it crushes he crushes everything into this compact.
That's pretty awesome. Square.
It is funny, but I do remember looking and being like, is there a body in there? They put a mannequin in there. There's nothing in there. It's just an empty car.
Oh, it's just an empty car?
It looks empty to me.
Yeah.
It's very clear to me.
That's pretty sweet, though.
Yeah, and then it comes into a block of metal, and then Odd Job puts it, like, it's another car, fancy pickup, and they put the metal in the fancy pickup, and he drives off.
Mm.
And then Goldfinger at this point, back at the ranch, is like, Hey is like, hey, Pussy, you want to move back to England? And she's like, no. Once this job comes off,
Baltimore,
making all this money, no, she's like, I'm going to a remote island that says no trespassing. She is clearly done with him.
Good.
She just wants her money.
Good for her.
To leave. You know, apparently Pussy Galore was also one of the oldest Bond girls. She was like 38.
She does have like an age on her, but like 38.
She's so old.
She's almost 40 years old.
She's almost 40 years old, but she is older than James Bond at this point.
That is true. That is true.
So, you know.
And also, like, everyone looked old back in the day.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. She's like that. And then
she's like around our age.
38?
Yeah.
I feel like I'm closer to James Bond age.
Yeah. You know what? You're right.
Yeah,
you are closer to James Bond's age.
We are, yeah.
We're more like James Bond. We're not like Pussy Galore.
Not at all. But I do want to move to an island that says no trespassing.
That sounds pretty cool. Yeah, I like that.
Anyway, the Americans are now like, well, they saw they lost the signal for everything. So they're like, we're going to go back to the ranch. We're just going to take a look there and inspect it. So Goldfinger's there And he notices that these guys are peeping. And he's like, maybe it's, you know, people just looking for horse riding tips. Because it's a Kentucky sure. Derby, I assume, happens or something.
Right.
In that area.
I forgot they weren't in Baltimore anymore. They're in Kentucky. That's why the Kentucky Fried Chicken thing. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I didn't even think about that part. Like literally like a small, probably yeah. like maybe a very local chain at this point. Who knows?
Exactly.
Anyway, so they're like, let's, you know what, Pussy, can you do this thing for me? Can you make it seem like James Bond is welcome here and he knows exactly what he's doing? He's not in any peril like he actually is.
Right.
She's like, yeah, I'll slip into something more comfortable.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we'll do that. Exactly. So then Bond arrives, actually, and because they want to make it seem like he's okay. So he comes and chats with Goldfinger. Mm. And he's like, yeah, so I know the whole plan. You know, there's one thing with your plan is that, you know, Delta 9 is actually deadly and you'll kill like 40,000 people. So he killed all those people that were in the.
Right. You're not going to knock them out. Yeah.
No, he's just going to straight up kill them. And Goldfinger's like, well, motorists kill more than that number every year. So, like, mm-hmm. I don't really feel bad about it. And Bond's like, okay, well, I have some other statistics for you is that, like, with all those men that you have in this compound and the weight of the gold that's in Fort Knox, like, it's going to take you, like, multiple days to like extract all that gold out of Fort Knox. There's right. no way you can do it in time. And he's like, who says I'm taking gold out of Fort Knox?
What's he doing?
Exactly. He's like,
is he just taking Fort Knox?
No. So he says like, oh, Bond thinks for a second. He's like, well, you had these Chinese fusion scientists around. They must have given you a bomb.
He's going to blow Fort Knox up?
Well, so I didn't realize this, but there was a lot of Asian actors, and I was, so like I didn't realize that there was actually who's working with the Chinese like people, government or whatever.
Right.
And so what he says is like, oh, he's like, yeah, a dirty atomic bomb is what I have, atomic device, I say.
Mm-hmm.
And then Bond then puts the pieces together. And he's like, oh, I see what you're gonna do. And what do you think he's gonna do?
I genuinely have no idea.
He's going to place a bomb inside of Fort Knox. And blow it up to make the gold inside radioactive for 57 years. And then what that means is
it'll be
chaos. The Chinese win because they get chaos for the West.
Right.
And he wins because at this point, the gold supply, it'll make his gold value.
The gold that he owns.
Way more valuable.
Yeah,
he
yeah,
estimates
yeah.
10 times more valuable conservatively.
Right.
And I'm like, honestly,
pretty good plan.
That's pretty cool. Like, I was like,
that's a pretty evil plan.
That's a pretty evil plan. That's like, oh, I didn't expect that. Like, obviously, you're just going to rob it.
I never would have gotten that. Yeah.
No. And I'm like, okay, we're cooking here. This is pretty interesting.
All right.
I'm into this.
All right. All right, Goldfinger.
Goldfinger, you got some thoughts. You're a smart guy.
He only loves gold.
He only loves gold. But he's willing to make it radioactive for 57 years.
Yeah. And then in 57 years, he'll just take it.
He'll probably be dead. He's kind of an older guy.
That is true.
So it won't matter in his lifetime, right?
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, well, and he's like, well, you know, your company's searching for it, but you know, if you find it or earlier, the bomb could explode anywhere, maybe even in the White House. Who knows? Like, it could be something bad. And he's like, kind of fuck off. You know what he's saying? And then Oddjob arrives with the cube car. And Goldfinger's like, excuse me, I have to extract this gold. And Bond looks at it and says, he did say he had a pressing engagement. Because he got crushed.
Yeah, pretty good.
I was like, pretty good.
I like that. Shocking.
Pussy Galore then arrives as in more something more comfortable. And
does it look comfortable?
It does actually look more comfortable. It's more comfortable, although it is showing more cleavage.
Oh, yeah.
But it is more comfortable.
Okay.
And she's like, I'm off duty and I'm completely defenseless, just like you. I just want to have you a good time, show you a good time. And he takes her hand and her arms and they walk off. And the two Americans are like, that's the James I know.
That's all good old James.
Old James. He seems to have the situation under control.
Yeah.
And up until then, I'm like, you know what? This movie is pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm really enjoying like the plot of Goldfinger. I like the intrigue of what's happening, and James kind of is like, I feel very hopeless for him. Like,
yeah.
I don't think he's gonna get out of this one. Like, I genuinely do not feel like he's gonna get out of this one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So,
and then
oh, no.
He's talking to Pussy Galore.
Sure.
And he takes her to kind of like one of the stables, and he's like, you don't really buy into the scheme, do you? And she's like, oh yeah, I do. I think, you know, he's like, I don't believe you. I don't think you're completely on the scheme. And he's like, oh, yeah. And then he goes up and tries to kiss her.
Mm-hmm.
And then she flips her over, flips him over and does, because
okay.
she knows, like,
karate,
I think,
or whatever.
Judo, I think.
Yeah.
Fucking knocks him out. And nice. He's like, oh, yeah. And then they fucking fight. And he flips her over, but it's all like cute.
Sure.
And then she flips him over again. Yeah. And he fucking flips her over again. And then she's on the back, and then she gets on top, or he gets on top of her.
Uh-huh.
And then just starts kissing her. And she's like, ah.
I don't want that.
I don't want that. Yeah. But then she does want it. Which I'm like, oh, this is the part of James Bond.
Yeah.
This is the part where I'm like, oh,
can't resist.
The ladies can't resist. They might resist for a little bit. But then they've
got to be cool with it.
They got to be cool with it, you know.
Because
they gotta,
otherwise,
what are we doing here? He's just too sexy. She's like a bad person, but he's too fucking sexy.
But he's, they're working against each other, but
look
at him.
He's so fucking charming.
Look at him in his hot toupee.
She's immune to his charms.
Yeah, but not really.
I don't think he's got a toupee. I'm pretty sure
he does have a toupee in this one.
Really? Is he just straight up bald?
He's balding pretty severely at this point. Yeah.
Damn.
I looked it up. He was not balding apparently in the first two, but then this is when he starts to actually start. Like, his hairline is receding more.
Oof.
Yeah. So. Yeah. There you go. You know.
Anyway.
No shade on people.
No shade.
No shade if you're balding.
No shade if you're balding. Yeah. But, Pussy Galore really must be into that.
She's a merkin.
Yeah, that's fair.
So they're both wearing false hair.
False hair. The fake hair. Who did yours? So then we cut to Pussy's flight crew, who is flying over Fort Knox. And they're like, all right, ready for Rockabye Baby. We're going to commence. And they click the button and they spray. And it's just this long. And I was like, okay, first off, this is a pretty good plan. But like, what about people inside Fort Knox? They're just going to be hanging out there. They're not going to get hit by this.
Kill them.
No, I know, but like they're not gonna get hit by this spray or whatever.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe it'll go through like ventilation. I don't know.
Maybe, I don't know. It's kinda like I don't really maybe I mean back in the day they didn't really have as many good filters. They're just like breathing in the fresh air.
Yeah, exactly.
They didn't know about carbon dioxide.
There's like
and all
one
that
guy
smell.
That just left the door open.
Yeah. So then we just see this long footage of all these military groups walking around, then just collapsing. They're just all falling over as the planes go over. Yeah, they're just falling over, falling asleep, dying, whatever the thing is.
Right.
And it's such a long scene of so many people falling asleep. And then finally they all fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, actually, we see even some of the people in front of Fort Knox. One of them is the Americans. The Americans are fucking dead, dude.
Oh, no.
I know.
I'm so sad.
So sad. But then, play some taps, baby. So then they report back. Grand Taskmaster, the baby is asleep. And now the rest of the clue, the bad guys, including James Bond, head in with gas masks on to go steal the money.
Right.
And I'm like, why the fuck is James Bond here?
Why would
Goldfinger bring him along?
Why?
So people.
So blame him?
I don't know, but they're driving up. People in the town nearby are also dead.
Yeah.
Like it's just collateral damage.
Yeah.
And then they take a little sensor meeting and they're like, okay, we don't need masks. They take all their masks off and then they blow up the gate into Fort Knox and they get in there. And they have a giant laser on the car, which I think is the same laser they used for James Bond.
Yes.
And they use the laser to cut through the big gate, and they break it down. They pull it off. And then suddenly Goldfinger arrives in a very dramatic fashion.
Of course.
He comes in a helicopter piloted by Pussy. And what are you laughing at, Mike?
Nothing.
There's nothing funny about that statement at all.
There's nothing funny. Being piloted by Pussy.
Then they open up the vault, and they find a bomb. They bring the bomb in and they turn it on and they bring it into the very center of the vault and they're going to turn it on. And as soon as they turn it on, the Americans, the dead Americans, get a little alert and they wake up and
so
everyone else
dead.
Wakes up. They aren't dead. They're all alive.
Yeah.
They've been faking it. And they go, let's get these guys and disperse the bomb. And
oh
they all
God.
Drive in.
How did they do that?
How'd they do that, Mike? How did they do that?
So I'm sure James must have fucked with the smoke somehow.
Something must have happened.
Or maybe Pussy did because...
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So the bad guys are there and they're handcuffing Mr. Bond to the bomb and they send him deep into the vault and they're like, so long, sucker. You're going to die here in the explosion and fucking that's going to be great for me. I'm Goldfinger. Anyway, I'm leaving. But then they start getting to the surface and then they start getting shot at because the Americans are like, we're going to stop this bomb.
We're alive.
Yeah. Like, oh my God. So all the bad guys are shooting at each other. And Goldfinger immediately puts on an outfit of the Americans, which I don't know how he had this or knew about this beforehand.
Yeah. Well, he's like, you know, every contingency.
Every
right?
contingency plan. He puts on an officer uniform and then immediately starts shooting his own men.
Holy shit.
And then which tricks the Americans. He's like, they're there. I'm going to go this way.
Right.
And they're like, okay. So they go in.
Does he have an accent?
I mean, he sounds American.
No, he does. He's doing an American accent.
They're in there.
Oh,
get him.
Yeah. And howdy, then, howdy, howdy.
But then they lock the vault beforehand, and Oddjob and the other bad guy, one other random bad guy, are still in there.
Mm.
And the other bad guy's like, well, I'm going to fucking disarm this bomb. We're trapped in here.
Right.
And Oddjob's like, no. And he fucking throws the guy off. This vault is huge. It's got many stairs, like tons of stairs, probably like 7 flights of stairs.
Right.
He throws him off the top stair to his death. Because Oddjob's here to fucking finish the job.
Yeah.
He's called Dunjob.
Dunjob after this. Yeah, exactly.
But then Bond like finds the body that fucking Oddjob just threw off, and he has the key. So he starts taking the key and trying to open it up. Oddjob sees this, like, oh, I can't have Bond doing this. Mm. So he starts running down those steps of stairs, this whole thing. And then he starts getting into a fight. And it's very funny because the first thing Oddjob does is take off his hat for no context. I knew this from the video game. Yes. He just fucking throws the hat at James Bond. It looks so goofy if you have no idea what's happening.
Like he's desperately trying to hit him with something.
I'm going to stop you.
Yeah.
But then they get into the fight of Oddjob. And Oddjob's kind of scary because Oddjob's just smiling the whole time. He's having a great time.
Yeah.
But doesn't say anything. And James Bond's getting his ass kicked.
Really?
But eventually he throws the hat. And Oddjob forgets it, but James Bond picks it up.
And he throws the hat.
And throws the hat back, but it gets stuck in these like metal bars that are like holding all the gold behind it.
Right. And so like, he now has to get his hat back.
Yeah. So Oddjob then goes back to get his hat.
Mm-hmm.
And during this time, one of the earlier sequences, the hat actually cut some wires to show how sharp it is.
Right. Oh, so it is sharp.
It is sharp.
It isn't just that he threw it
really
hard.
It feels like a sharp. I mean, he could have thrown it really hard, but it looks like a normal hat. I imagine it's got to be some sharpness. The reason I say this is because Oddjob goes up, grabs the hat, and then James Bond grabs the electrical wire and puts it to the metal, and it shocks Oddjob, and he dies. Now, the only reason I could say that because he's not touching any parts of the metal, so I imagine
the hat must be metal,
so then he gets electrocuted.
Got it. Okay,
and
cool.
And then fucking dies.
Shocking.
So then, shocking. Exactly. A lot of that in this movie, huh?
Yeah, a lot of people getting electrocuted in this one.
So then eventually the good guys break into the vault, but James is trying to disarm him. He has 25 seconds left on the timer.
Oh, my God.
He doesn't know what to do. He's just looking at there. He's looking at all these wires. He pulls it open from the key. He's like, I don't know how to disarm this bomb. He's about ready to just pull something, and then an American guy steps in and just turns it off. He just finds the button to turn it off because he knows how to do it.
Sure.
And he's like, oh, about time you got here. And I'm like, what happened? And he's like, well, pussy helped us swab the gas in the canisters, says one of the American guys.
That is a helpful pussy.
And he's like, what made her change her mind? And James Bond says, well, I guess I appealed to her more maternal instincts.
Oh, my God.
I know. And I'm like, oh,
oh my
no.
God.
Oh, no. Why'd you say that? So then James is like, save the day. The bomb's disfused. Fort Knox is secure. No one's dead.
Hell yeah. All thanks to America.
Exactly. So he's like, all right. Well, they're like, we're going to send you home to Britain, dude.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the Americans is like, I told the stewardess to bring drinks for three. And he's like, who's the third? Who's the other two? And he's like, none. It's just you. You fucking drunk. That's what it implies.
I like that.
So
he gets back
in the plane to England, and he's all suited up, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, it's in the movie.
Everything's great.
Well, you forgot. Goldfinger's still around. So Goldfinger reappears.
Oh, my God.
Pointing a gun at James.
This happened like in the last movie, too.
I know.
Yeah.
And he's like, ah. James Bond says, are you having lunch at the White House as well?
Mm.
He's like, no, I'm not. He's like, where's Pussy? She's like, she's at the controls of the plane, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to kill you, Mr. Bond. He's like, well, you know, if you shoot this, it's going to punch a hole in the window.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah, it would, huh? But then while he's like thinking about this, Bond grabs the gun and they wrestle for a bit.
Right.
And then they do end up shooting
in the car
while they're in the air.
Yeah,
the cabin, they shoot the window, which is very funny, similar to snakes on a plane.
It all comes back to snakes on a plane.
And he shoots a hole in the window, and Goldfinger, this is the goofiest scene because they clearly green screen Goldfinger being flying, and he's flying through the air, the airplane cabin, going whoa. Oh, and he gets sucked through the hole of the airplane and dies.
Just like space truckers.
Just like space truckers, exactly. Yeah. So many things getting sucked out of an air hole.
Yeah, that's true.
But
this one came first.
James Bond was holding on to the side of the airplane while this happens.
Of course.
And he makes his way to the front controls where Pussy's trying to fight with the controls. He's just like, it's no use. And we're going down. And then we see the Americans seeing the radar of the altitude just dropping and dropping. It's like, oh, fuck, they're going to die, huh? But then we see the airplane hit the water and it explodes. But we then cut to Pussy flagging down on a random island, flagging down a helicopter, being like, hey, we're here. And James is like, no, no, no. And he grabs her and then says, now is no time to get rescued. And then they start making out and he covers her over the parachute. And that's the end of the movie.
Well, there you go. And this is what she wanted, remember? She wanted to be on a deserted island.
That is true. I didn't even think about that, but you're right. Yeah, exactly. She wanted to be on a deserted island.
She got what she wanted.
She got what she wanted, except there's James Bond here.
James Bond is here, exactly.
Which she seems into, I guess, now, but
yeah,
initially.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. This is, yeah, this one is definitely the better of the three.
It's weird because it's like, it's a better movie, but James Bond is worse.
Yeah, no,
like,
100%.
He's a worse character. He's a more like, oh, I don't like where you're going here. And I almost wonder if they took the lessons for this and people, like, this is a well-received movie. It won an Oscar for sound editing.
Oh, okay.
I know, it's like, whatever.
Sure.
But, like, it was one of the more well-received James Bond films. So right. They probably took the lessons from this and like, wow. They like James Bond being a fucking
chauvinist
pig.
Misogynist, yeah.
Just treating women like objects. Clearly, this is the best one, and people really like this one. So let's just fucking double down on it, I bet, is what they think.
Apparently, this was also the first movie to come out after Ian Fleming had passed.
Oh, he's dead.
Ian Fleming had died.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that. I thought he'd still be alive for most of these.
So it sounds like this is now when they can just start taking some creative licenses, I think, with like how goofy these movies can get
like,
as well.
Yeah, but I almost feel like Ian Fleming also wasn't exactly like he a very probably, grounded person.
Oh, no,
sounds
not,
like,
not at all. Yeah, no. I mean, they are also based off of his books, and he's the one that's writing Pussy Galore.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, it's not like they're really doing anything crazy off the books.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, I mean, other than that, like, I was pretty fucking entertained. Like, I had a good time with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Despite the problems,
I was also entertained. I was not nourished, but I was entertained.
You're not nourished.
Yes,
you were in like this isn't. It's a pop. It's a blockbuster type of like spy thriller.
Yeah.
There's nothing more to it. It's got. That's the thing. These movies have no commentary on any real events. They're just kind of taken from real events, but don't really have anything to say about them.
Yeah, yeah. I did enjoy the villain's like. Plan. I thought that was pretty cool. I enjoyed that. Although
I did enjoy the reveal. I thought that was really fun. I was having a good time with everything.
I wish there was a bit more of like, which is what I kind of liked in the first one, which was like James Bond being like a detective and trying to like solve a mystery rather than
he kind of just put it together all there on the spot.
Yeah, as well. It helped that the villain was there going like, and what does that mean?
Yeah, exactly. You know, like, he was sort of like ha ha ha, you fucking idiot. I'm explaining my whole plan. But I mean, that is one of the tropes, right? He explains
his
whole plan before he gets killed.
Exactly.
Or in this case, sucked out of an airplane. Because for some reason, he had revenge. He could just escaped. But
yeah,
like,
that's what I thought.
That's
I thought he was going to live and
so
then show
So many motherfuckers
up later.
Want to kill James Bond. Like, yeah. And, well, in the last movie, the whole plot is Spectre wants to get revenge on the first movie for killing Dr. No.
Exactly.
And that was kind of interesting. There's no Spectre in this, right?
Like, not that I'm aware.
No, it's no, just him doing no,
a
standard
just
a job. Yeah.
He's just a villain that runs a giant conglomerate company, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll see them again at some point, but
I don't know. Probably.
I mean,
we're
the last movie of the latest movie of James Bond was
called Spectre.
So
we're probably going to see Spectre again.
Yeah.
But I'm sure we'll probably see them sooner rather than later. So the question is, are we going to continue watching these movies?
Yeah, this is so we, most of the time, we have to watch two movies. We're recording two movies, but this is a whole special case. So we actually can decide if we want to keep watching these movies or not.
I already know what you're going to say.
What are you going to say, though?
I'm going to say, sure. Let's keep going.
Let's see what's going on. I mean, they're still entertaining at this point.
Yeah, right now they're okay. They're all right. They're not as bad as I was expecting them to be. Like visually, I would say that I think that's what's helping it a lot. The direction is definitely helping.
Yeah, I agree. I'm curious to see. I want to know where the real downturn happens.
Yeah,
you know, like I want to know when it really gets to this some shitty shit. You know, or are we gonna start seeing it slowly decline, or is it gonna be a quick cliff?
I don't know
because I think the thing that's interesting about the series is we kind of know that like. They get pretty bad.
Yes.
They get
we
real bad.
We do know that, yes.
We just don't know when. Right. And it's kind of like there's a bomb under our chair, and we don't know when it's going to go off. And we can't disarm it. We could stop at any time. We don't know. But we also want to see as close as we can get to that bomb being disarmed.
And then do we want to see how far we can get through that as well until it's like the radiation is worn off and now it's starting to turn good again, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Or we start getting radiation poisoning.
Exactly.
We start enjoying it. Because
that's
so
also
bad.
Possible.
That could be a possibility. We're just like, this fucking James guy.
This
he's so
crazy.
Crazy
character.
Played by this other actor now that we don't know.
I don't like this guy.
I don't like this actor. He sucks.
So we've been rating these, I believe, right?
Yeah, I think we have. Yeah. I think it's just stars, right? I don't think there's anything like.
I thought it was like bullet holes or something.
It might have been bullet holes. Yeah, it's bullet holes.
Yeah.
I love how we forget. It's been a week or so.
It's been a week or two. Yeah, I would probably give this one a solid 3. I'd give it a 3.
You've given every single one. You've given every single one
of
three.
You don't remember what the rating system was, but you remember.
I remember what you rated it.
I'm going to give it a solid 3.
Wow, okay.
3 it is. 3 out of 5.
I say 3.5.
Oh, wow. That's what you'd be giving the ball.
I think I might have been. So maybe I'll give it a 4.
Okay.
This is definitely a better one of the other ones, I think. As far as, like, directing and, like, script and, like, intrigue, I'm like, oh, this is like a fun... This is what I picture a James Bond movie being like. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your...
Same.
You got your, like, weird...
For better or worse.
Weird, silent... villain, odd job, you know, who's doing weird stuff, and he's got a very iconic hat. You got a lady being painted in gold, which is very striking. You know, you have actual intrigue with the plot of, like, what the evil guy's plan is, and how I feel like James Bond is in a corner he can't escape.
But
somehow he does.
Right.
Even if it's, like, kind of plot convenience, like, why would you bring him along to be blown up, I guess, out of vengeance, but, like, whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
Time to the bomb.
I like how they're just sort of like, okay, we'll keep you alive, Mr. Bond. We're not gonna cut you in half via laser.
Yeah.
We're also going to not do anything else to do, like, they're like, oh, we can't kill you because then MI6 will come... But I'm like, you didn't do anything that, I don't know. It just didn't seem like they were actually, like, going to do anything with him being alive. I don't know. That didn't make any sense to me at all.
True. And also the main reason he got out of it is because he's really charming and he could fuck real
good.
And
he
pushes himself onto a woman being like, well, you could change your mind, right?
Yeah.
And I guess if there's one case to save the world, I don't even want to continue. You know where I'm going, audience. I don't want to say this.
We all know.
But I guess maybe it's fine. In this one particular weird case for an evil villain who's going to kill 40 million people or 40,000 people, maybe I guess you should be like, I'm going to fuck you. And you're going to like it.
No.
I guess.
Oh, I mean, it doesn't seem like it was her plan, really. You know, like,
it was her plan. She wasn't down. Yeah. She'd rather just get her pussy on. It's in her name.
It's in her name, so she had it coming, right?
What about that?
That's what you're saying. The other thing we do is we've been rating all the intros. This one's the best. Obviously, it's the best.
I believe you. Yeah, I believe. Really, I mean, I heard the song at the end again. They reprised it. They kind of showed the credits were projecting things on the women's bodies, and I was like, oh, that's pretty fun.
It's cool. I like it. It's not a great song, but it's a cool song.
So you're gonna talk to me about Odd Job. What Odd Job's acting?
I just delete that part. I was apparently wrong. I misidentified who.
I don't know where
else.
That is. So what was the thing you were gonna say though? I'm gonna delete. I'll delete this part.
I thought he was a killer.
Oh, like the actual actor?
He actually killed somebody, but no, he wasn't. He was like a cool guy, apparently.
Okay.
He was a professional wrestler.
That might have been a rumor, though.
That might have been a rumor. It was the same thing as the lady who died via gold or whatever.
We all got tricked by something in this movie.
I feel like there is some character actor that's in these like 007 movies that like murdered
actually
somebody.
Was a killer. Yeah. Probably. I mean, there's so many fucking character actors in these movies.
A lot of actors.
So many. They probably hired an actual killer.
Probably.
Like, what was that one thing in, was it Casino or something? They hired someone or like some consultant, some Scorsese movie where he's like, actually, this is how it happened.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
exactly.
You know, it happens.
It happens
all
the time. Yeah. Or like in The Exorcist, like one of the doctors that's working on Reagan wound up being like a serial killer.
Oh, I actually didn't know that part.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
I mean, that's a cursed movie. So.
That is a cursed movie.
I don't think there's any cursed movies in James Bond. They're just weird.
Bad.
Yeah.
Guys, what are your thoughts on James Bond? Email us, email at theotherhalfpodcast.com. You can find us on Facebook or on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. And we also have a Discord. Check out our Discord. And if you want to listen to our previous James Bond episodes or keep up with the future ones, you can find them on any podcasting app. And while you're there, please leave a 5-star rating and review. We will read it in the show no matter what it says, even if it's literally just the word gold written 65
Finger!
Times. Why is he called Goldfinger? I thought he might have had like a finger that was made of gold.
No,
but
everything he
case.
Touches is gold. It's like the Midas touch.
Oh, okay. And why is he called Pussy Galore? Good night, everybody.
Hey everyone, Ethan from the editing booth. Mike was right. The actor who played Odd Job, Harold Sakata, actually didn't kill anyone, but what he was mixing it up with was Joe Sun, who played Random Task in the Austin Powers version of Odd Job, who was pretty bad. He's a pretty bad guy. Sexual assault, killing his prison mate, like all sorts of bad stuff. So not a great guy. So yeah, it's, you know, seems like maybe Austin Powers isn't all that it's cracked up to be. I don't know.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.